Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Shavua Tov and good morning. Welcome to our special Rosh Chodesh Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmer. So we are Erev Rosh Chodesh Shvat. I say that if it wasn't an extra Adar, the candy would appear in the stores already because it's usually like a month to 6 weeks before Purim. This year we have a little bit of extra time, so it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Shvat is also, of course, known for the Rosh Hashanah La'ilan in the language of the Mishnah. It is the month of Tu B'Shvat. It is the month of renewal and regrowth when the trees come back to life. I have been in Eretz Yisrael in more recent years two times on Tu B'Shvat. It pales, Chutz La'aretz Tu B'Shvat. Pales in comparison. It's not even on the same map or the same page or the same planet as Tu B'Shvat in Eretz Yisrael, where the day really has true meaning for the bracha of the ilanot, the trees, the bounty. And when I was thinking about what to focus on for this week, or this month, I should say, Shir, Tu B'Shvat, of course, came to mind. We did that, I think, last year or the year before. I remember I spoke about the Tu B'Shvat Seder at the Knesset that my husband and I were zocha to attend a few years ago. I wasn't sure which direction to go in. And then when you look at the parsha this week, this week's upcoming Parsha is Parsha's Bow. And in Parsha's Bow, we have the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. So I thought, this is a Rosh Chodesh, yeah? And Parsha's Bow outlines or commands us regarding the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. So I thought it would be a very appropriate shiur, not specifically to talk about Rosh Hashanah La'ilan, but to talk about this idea of Rosh Chodesh. Furthermore, this shiur is really dedicated to the upcoming Bow Vayam Bar Mitzvah, but as Ras Hashem, this coming Shabbos Chodesh, Parsha's Bow, Tavshin Ayin Tes, of our twin boys who will be zocha to reach the age of Torah and Mitzvos this Shabbos Kodesh. So I couldn't figure out a real title for this year. I don't know, I think it's Rosh Chodesh, the significance of time to a bar mitzvah. I'm not sure. When it goes up online, the title might change. You should know, it takes a lot of siyata d'shmaya to come up with those titles, you see. I dab and I say, Hashem, please don't let me waste so much mind time on these titles. Just give it to me quickly. Throughout the years, when people ask of Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, how to celebrate a bar mitzvah, the Gadol replied, he himself never had a bar mitzvah, and he turned out just fine. Similarly, when people ask him about Sheva Brachas, he says, I never had Sheva Brachas. I turned out just fine. When they asked him about dating an older girl, he said, well, my Rebbetzin was 5 years older. When they got married, Rav Steinman was 30. His Rebbetzin Tamar, was 35. He says, my Rebbetzin was 5 years older than me. We turned out just fine. So I was talking to the kids about this. Rav Steinman said, well, in regard to bar mitzvah, not in that parsha yet, but in regard to Shidduchim, in regard to Sheva Brachas, Rav Steinman, who was a Ben Olam Haba, while he was an Olam Haza, was mostly unconventional. And to all of those, he said, I never did it like that, or I did it like this, and I turned out just fine. However, even though he himself never had a bar mitzvah, and he, quote, turned out just fine, he advised people not to stand out from the crowd. And therefore, you should host a modest bar mitzvah celebration if such was the norm of the community. He disapproved of excessive spending, saying that problems can arise when youngsters are, wined and dined with lavish meals, overly flattering speeches, a super abundance of expensive gifts, because this can lead to a boy's feeling unwarranted sense of pride. Believing he is mature enough now to think for himself can cause him to have a misguided hashkafa, stop listening to the words of his parents and his rabbeim. Rabbitson Tamar Steinman, Allah HaShalom, frequently told her grandchildren about her husband's bar mitzvah. On Shabbos, he davened with his father at the minyan at the home of Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. Rav Steinman grew up in Brisk. He was very close with Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He was very close with the Dayan of Brisk, Rav Simcha Zalag. The Imre Moshe asked Rav Aaron Leib what he was learning. When young Aaron Leib replied, he was studying Maseches Yevamos. So the Imre Moshe asked him to say Shor Tvar Torah, which the young Aaron Leib proceeded to do on Maseches Yevamos. He gave a Shor Tvar Torah. That was his bar mitzvah. There was no kiddush. There was no Suudas mitzvah. The mispalim or close friends or family did not attend an event. The bar mitzvah boy davened at the regular Shabbos davening. He said a Shor Tvar Torah. He's had the Shabbos Suuda with his parents as he did on any other Shabbos. In fact, the only ones in the town of Brisk who made a kiddush on a bar mitzvah Shabbos, a kiddush, just a kiddush, were the Rav and the Rosh Kahal. What did they serve at the kiddush? Only wine and cake were served. Even the few wealthier merchants in town, in the city in Brisk, did not host a weekday Seudas Mitzvah or a Shabbos Kiddush to mark the Bar Mitzvah of their sons. Now, I understand we don't live in Brisk. I understand the times have changed. And Rav Aaron Leib Steinman himself, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha, did advise people to make a modest celebration in keeping with the Minhag HaMakom. For his younger son, Rav Shraga's Bar Mitzvah, the Bachar's classmates and Rabbeim, who taught with Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, were served a small amount of cake, kugla, and drinks in the dining room of the Panovich Yeshiva. So this was for Rav Aaron Leib's, one of his sons. Neither challah nor bread was served. The Steinmans did not feel it necessary to make a formal su'uda, and no printed invitations were sent. So I just have to say one thing on this whole list. My husband and I, at least we got the last line. No printed invitations were sent. Nothing else is in keeping with Aaron Leib Steinman's youthful bar mitzvah, simple bar mitzvah, except for no printed invitations. So I thought there. I thank you for your time in advance. This is a Torah shir. We are going to be talking about Rosh Chodesh. I thought what a more there is no more meaningful way to mark my shavach and hodah to the Ribbono Shel Olam, shechianu v'kiyumanu v'hegianu lazman hazeh. My boys were born on Shabbos 13 years ago. They will, be'ezras Hashem, bo bayam, be enter the age of Torah mitzvos on Shabbos. Hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki li olam chasto, vav shvad is their bo bayam. And so in light of the upcoming simcha, this year is dedicated to some thoughts related not only to my children, to a child becoming an adult, but more so lessons to us all. So I just have to say one thing. Many people are just coming in. Good morning and welcome. There's a handout on the Bima. The office is closed on Sunday. If there are no more handouts on the Bima, I ask all of you who are sitting next to multiple people have in a row, there are people in the back who don't have handouts. Can you please pass some handouts to the people who need? Okay? Please. Please, because there are sources and you're going to need them. Okay, there's two more handouts on the Bima. Thank you. If you don't have one, please make sure to take or sit next to someone who does. So this year is really dedicated to thoughts on becoming bar mitzvah, not from myself personally, and also what can we all learn. And I think it's incredible. It's incredible. The Bo Bayom. Never mind. For us, it happens to be that the Bo Bayom is Shabbos, but for a regular bar mitzvah boys whose Bo Bayom is not Shabbos, the Bo Bayom is the day of significance because that is the day that they become bar mitzvah. And it's fascinating to contemplate what changes from the afternoon, in my son's case, Friday afternoon, when they cannot make a minyan. They're going to be in shul Friday, you know, let's say, okay, Shachar is Friday morning, or any Bo Bayom boy, the Erev of his actual bar mitzvah, he can't make the minyan. He's a minor. He's in shul, and he's there for mitzvah's purpose of chinuch and tefillah. And that night, with Seis HaKochavim, and the setting of the sun, not in that order, the setting of the sun and Seis HaKochavim, and the emergence of the moon, the child is now no longer a youth. It's not nine men and a boy. It's 10 men. It's an unbelievable thing. Friday, they can't make a minyan. Leil Shabbos, they can. Even one of the boys is making a siyum, so his brother said he can't make a siyum. So he said, Friday night, he can't make a siyum. One element, what changes? One word, one idea fundamental to Yahadus, fundamental to our entire way of life, fundamental to the psyche of a Jew. One word, time. Time. Years, months, weeks, days, minutes, seconds. With the passage of time, a child becomes an adult. With the passage of time, for the sake of chinuch, becomes for the sake of a mitzvah. Nine men and a boy suddenly, with the passage of time, becomes 10 men. With the setting of the sun and the emergence of the Shabbos stars, the parent says, Baruch Shepetrani, may unsho salzeh. And the minor is a grown-up. one who is not chayiv in sukkah, who is not chayiv in arba minim, who is not chayiv in tefillin, even though some have a custom to put on 3 months in advance, 1 month in advance, you're not chayiv, pasha. Who is not chayiv in zman kriya shema, who is not chayiv in mitzvahs ase shal zman graman, suddenly becomes chayiv in all. And in Parashas Bo, we have the last two makas. It's such a beautiful parasha. They're all such beautiful parashios. There's all so much to learn from every word, from every letter, from every nuance of Torah. But there's so much happening in Parashas Bo. You have the last three makos. You have Arba, Choshech, Makos, Bechoros. You have Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have Karban Pesach. Again, not in that order. Paro running through the streets. Everybody has to leave. You have the great redemption that was promised to Abraham back in chapter 15, Perek Tasvav, in the Brisbane Habsarim, Ba'achre, Chain, Yetzer, Bechush, Gadol, comes to fruition in this week's parasha after hundreds of years of slavery and hundreds of years of a terrible Galus. Klal Yisrael marched to a hopeful freedom. And the first commandment, and I'm sure that this is an idea that you've heard before and perhaps we've even discussed before, but the first commandment about to be given to the about to be freed Israelites, if you look on the top of your handout, please, this is from this upcoming parsha, Parsha's Bow, Perek Yud Beis. Does anyone not have a handout? There are a couple more in the Bima. Did I say Pasuk Beis? I don't know what I'm talking about. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph through Gimel. The Israelites are still in Egypt. Redemption has not commenced. We have not even been commanded yet regarding Karban Pesach. That's in Pasuk Dalet. What is the first thing that God is going to say to these people who are about to be free? The first thing, you should keep Shabbos. The first thing, you should know you have to keep Taras HaMishpacha. The first thing, you have to fast on Yom Kippur. The first thing, maybe Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. The first words that God commands Knesset Yisrael, HaChodesh HaZalachem. Rosh Chodashim, this month is for you, the first of the months. Rishon Hu Lacham L'Chad Sheyashana. It is the first of the months of the year for the months to you. And Rashi points out that we're talking about Nisan. This was the month of Nisan, the month of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And furthermore, Rashi tells us that Moshe was unsure. When you see the word Hazeh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lacham, it means God pointed to the new moon in its renewal. This is what Rashi says. And said to Moshe, when the moon is like this, Hazeh, HaChodesh Hazeh, this is Rosh Chodesh. Dabru al kol das Yisrael lemor ba'asa chodesh shazav v'yuchu lahem ish shalabais avos shalabais. So the command for Karban Pesach to take the lamb or the sheep or the goat is brought to us after the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. How significant, how is important is the first national mitzvah? So the first national mitzvah is the mitzvah essentially to mark time. Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctification of the new month. We know the two Edim come up to Beis Din and they put them in separate rooms and they have to give testimony as to when they saw the new moon, and if Beis Din says that the testimonies corroborate, then they declare that that is Rosh Chodesh. It is based on our sanctification of time. Today, of course, we have a set calendar. We have a set calendar which tells us, but once again, we determine time, and this is the first mitzvah. How important is this first national mitzvah? So the very first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. And back on your handout. The very first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. In the beginning, Elokim created the heavens and the earth. So many ways to interpret that pasuk, some of which we've spoken about together in our parasha classes. But let's just look at Rashi. What does Rashi have to say about the first pasuk in the Torah? What does Rashi have to say in his opening to his magnum opus? Nobody can learn Chumash without Rashi. Pasha can't learn Chumash without Rashi. All the other Mefarshim come after. There are so many super commentaries who comment on Rashi. And you want to open with a bang. You know, first impressions are lasting. What is Rashi going to tell you as he opens up the Chumash? What's his commentary to Pasuk Aleph? Bereishis Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Lo haya tzarich lahaschil es haTorah ela mechodesh hazalachem. Rabbi Yitzchak says, as quoted by Rashi, you should know the Torah should have started with Perek Yud Beis of Shemos, Pasuk Beis. What should the Torah have started with? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. The Torah should have started with, this month is for you, for Rosh Chodesh. Shehi Mitzvah Rishona Shenitzavu B'Yisrael. Why should the Torah have started with Rosh Chodesh? Because it's the first mitzvah that Israel was commanded with. Reishis. Because I'll say that, what is Bereishis, Bar Elokim, Esa, Shemayim, Vasa, Aretz? So one interpretation is, the Torah was created for Reishis. Bereishis, for Reishis. The whole world was created. So what is Reishis? Different opinions of Chazal. One opinion is, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikru, Reishis. Bishvil Torah, Shenikru, Reishis. Reishis, Chacham, Yisrael, Hashem. Bishvil Bikurim, Shenikru, Reishis. Because I'll say, there are different reasons why the whole world was created. Bereishis bara Elokim Eso Shemayim Vasarts. Bishvil Reishis. The whole world was created. So there's opinions. What is Reishis? Reishis is Torah. Reishis is Bikurim, first fruits. Reishis is Klal Yisrael. So if the whole world is created for the purpose of Knesset Yisrael keeping the Torah, so you should just start by telling, what do I need all these stories for? Tell me, what's the first thing I have to keep? You know what the first thing you have to keep is? Rosh Chodesh. So what is the reason that the Torah, in fact, opened with Bereishis? Mishum koach, such famous words, so beautiful. Mishum koach ma'asav higid la'ama la'seis la'amnachas goyim. The power of God's power, he told to his nation to give them an inheritance of nations. She'im yamru oyvei, how sad this commentary is in light of the political situation and the goings on with which Medina Yisrael must fight Umos HaOlam. She'im yamru Umos HaOlam l'Yisrael listim atam, if the Umos HaOlam come and they say to Israel, you're robbers. She'kivashim arzo shiva goyim. Have we heard this recently? All the time. What do the Umos HaOlam say? You stole our land. That's not your land, it's our land. Heim amum lehem, kala archa kosh baruchu. You know, we could answer back, the whole world is God's. Hu bara unisana lasher yasha beinav. He created the world, he gave it to whoever he wants. Birtsona nasna lehem, with his will he gave it to them. U birtsona nad lamehem unisana ladu. And in the right time, he took it from them and he gave it to us. So the whole purpose of Maisa Bereisha, says Rashi, is not for us to figure out exactly how God created the world scientifically, and exactly how I resolved dinosaurs with Bria Solomon 5779. The whole purpose of Maisa Bereishis is to understand that the world is God's. Everything in the world belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He gave the land to who we want, and he took the land from who we want and gave it to us. It's supposed to give us a valid claim as to why we are entitled to Eretz Yisrael. Today, Rachman al-Atzlan, with Amalek, this claim doesn't work. They don't care, but that's not the point. The point is for us to know the world is the Ribbono Shel Olam. But besides this beautiful Rashi, which reinforces at the very beginning of Torah, the ideal of Eretz Yisrael for Knesset Yisrael, we can't forget the first words of Rashi. The whole Torah should have begun with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. And you think of the most significant mitzvahs in the Torah, Rosh Chodesh doesn't usually come to mind. And yet, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo hayatzarich lahaschil ala min haChodesh Hazeh Lachem. She mitzvah rishona shenitzavu b'Yisrael. Look on your handout, please. So it's quite a lengthy piece by the Rav. I don't usually include his pieces on the handouts. Usually we look at Mefarshim, commentators, Gemara, Psukim. However, I felt that it was too long for me to be able to give it over impactfully to you. Sometimes when it comes to the passages of Salvechuk, we need to read them and then reread them to grasp the idea. And I wanted you to be able to have the full impact of what Rav Salvechuk was saying. The first commandment, so Rav Salvechuk, okay, I'm on your head up. The first commandment they were given in Egypt, which signaled the commencement of their liberation, was to mark time. I'm not just going to be reading it, so please keep your finger on the place. It's such a challenge, this idea of time. It's such a challenge in the world in which we live, in the society in which we live, in the culture in which we live. I was in the eye doctor for my annual checkup two Fridays ago, and I didn't have to wait as long as I expected. Sometimes the wait is so long, I thought I would finish the whole parsha with Rashi. Didn't get as far as I expected at all. But there was an adult woman next to me, an adult. And she was sitting in the office, waiting also, I guess, for her turn, and she was playing Candy Crush. And she did not appear to be an Orthodox or Jewish woman. Of course, she could have been Orthodox or she could have been Jewish. I have no idea whether she was or she wasn't. But this challenge of maximizing our time, especially in the society and the culture we live in, is such a challenge. How important is it to appreciate every moment of time? It's the first mitzvah. The first mitzvah. How old are you? 40, 50, 60? You're playing Candy Crush? It'll be better to stare at the wall and do nothing. Think something. Read something. Watch the talk show that's on TV. Maybe. Probably not. We're talking about something intelligent. I don't know. We're enslaved. We're enslaved to the elements in society that rob us of meaningful time. We're enslaved. If we don't understand the first national mitzvah, we are enslaved to our devices, to wasting time, to shtus and hevel. We're enslaved. A moment is a moment we will never get back. What marks the passage of a boy, mamish youth? Friday morning, my boys cannot make a minyan. Friday afternoon, when they go to mincha, they can't make the minyan. Maariv will come if they want, they could daven for the amud. It's unbelievable. What changed? What changed? The moon rose and the stars came out. What changed? Time. So we have this unbelievable gift, the first national mitzvah, and we squander, we waste. We fail to appreciate that this moment might be my last moment. How I feel when I go up to the Beis Din Shamala and they show me that I'm playing Candy Crush because I had nothing to do. Oy lanu liyam hadin, oy lanu liyam tochacha. O yachlu achiv la'anos also kinivhalo mipanav. What will we say? I don't know. I don't know what I will say. We're enslaved. The first commandment they were given in Egypt, which signaled the commencement of their liberation, was to mark time. A slave, please follow, please keep your finger where I am on the Rav. Second sentence, a slave is relieved of mitzvahs ase shelzman grama. You know, time banned positive commandments. Of time banned positive commandments. This is because the slave lacks the time experience. Why does a slave, one who is physically enslaved, the Yidden in Egypt were physically enslaved, avadim hayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim, or someone who is, rachmana l'tzlan, emotionally, psychologically, proverbially enslaved in such a culture, to the slave, time is a curse. He waits for the day to pass. Why? Why does a slave want nothing more than time to pass? Because what's he awaiting? Ultimately liberation, the day he can be free. But until liberation, when he can be free, the slave's time is the property of his master. He does not own time. It has no meaning to him. He is meshuvah to somebody else. He can't do what he wants when he wants. How could he do mitzvahs asher shelzman grama? How could he put on tefillin in the right time if the master says, plow the fields or I will kill you? How can he sit in the sukkah if the master forbids him? But if he's going to be chayim misa by his master, if he builds a sukkah. The slave's time is the property of his master, no matter how hard. He may try to be productive in time. The passing of hours, days, weeks is very dull. A free person waits with such anticipation. We count if we're waiting to a big event, whatever it is, a graduation, starting a new job with anticipation or excitement, going on a vacation, making a simcha, whatever it is. We wait with such anticipation for the time to pass. We are excited by hours. We are excited by days. We are excited by weeks. To the slave, life is very dull. Life to the slave personality is motionless. Time may be passing objectively. The days, the sun sets, the sun rises, the moon waxes, the moon wanes. But to the slave personality, subjectively, time is motionless. There is objective time. And there is subjective time. Objectively, that person in the doctor's waiting room, objectively, time is passing. Subjectively, that woman was motionless with the passage of time. The slave lacks the great excitement. Look at these words. I wanted you to be able to see the words, visualizing them, reading them helps us appreciate the power of Rav Soloveitchik's piece here. He lacks the great excitement of opportunities knocking at the door, of challenges summoning him to action. He lacks the excitement of tense expectation. He even lacks the fear of failure. Any faith which is inseparably bound up with time. Oh, it says in. Sorry, that should say is. I have a little typo there. I just saw it as I'm reading it to you. Does everyone see what I'm talking about? End of paragraph one, if you're keeping this or if you're interested. Can I have a pen for a second, please? Thank you. Seamus. You're welcome to keep it, please. Just be aware that it does have Seamus. The slave lacks the excitement of opportunities. What is he looking forward to? Another day in the field? What is he looking forward to? Another brick on the pyramid? Another whip of the slave? Another bolt in the munition factory for the Germans? Another hour in roll call? What am I looking forward to? Not me personally, but another Facebook post? Did Mashiach come that I have to check my phone? The minute it buzzes, did Mashiach come? It didn't come. Another point, I don't know exactly how Candy Crush works in the game. What am I waiting for? I am a Shubad. Where's the Lachem in HaChodesh Hazeh? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. If there's one message we need to pass on to ourselves first, because you cannot teach anybody if you do not internalize for yourself, is the mitzvah of time. Then we take our children, our Talmidim, our students, our Kehillas, the next generation, our neighbors. And we want to pass on a Mesorah. The Mesorah begins with HaChodesh HaZalachem. Rosh Chodashim. That's what the Mesorah begins with. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lo haya tzarich lahascha ela min HaChodesh HaZalachem, shi mitzvah rishonish in istavu bo Yisrael. If you don't own time, you own nothing else. You cannot do any other mitzvah. Zman Kriya Shema, but it's such an important text. I just have to send one more. Zman Kriya Shema, but I gotta read the article. And before you know it, it's no more Zman Kriya Shema. And I missed the Zman. But it was so important. I'm a Shubar. This time awareness or experience, continuing with the Rav. Please, if you just came in, go sit next to somebody who has a hand. I'm like a broken record. They're going to hear me 10 times on the recording saying the same thing. I don't want you to miss out. And you need to see the Lashon inside. Second paragraph of the Rav. This time awareness or experience, okay? So two things. There's dual aspect of time. One, we have to be aware of time. And two, we must experience time. Those two words are not the same thing. To be aware of my time here and to experience my time here is not the same thing. In order to experience, I first have to be aware. If I'm not aware, I can't experience. Three basic components. First, retrospection. The Rav now in very fancy language is going to be talking about past, present, future. I remember years ago, when I would make much more younger, when I pick up a piece of the Rav, I would read it and I know I was reading, try and reread it to re-understand it. Baruch Hashem, we have come away. First, retrospection. Here the Rav is talking about past. Without memory, there is no time. So that's the first nakuda, past. Second, the exploration or close examination of things yet unborn. So what is he talking about now? Which nakuda is that? Waiting for something? Future, exactly right. And the anticipatory experience of events not yet in being. We remember, we anticipate. We have the past, we build on the past. Our whole Mesorah is built on the past. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Masra'el Yeshua, Yeshua is Kanim, Levim, Nevi'im Asul, Anshei Knesset Gedola. There is a misora of taking from the past and building the future. In fact, this week's parasha, Parashas Bo, Parashas says to Moshe, Miva miha holchim, who wants to go? So Moshe says, Bini ureinu ubizikneinu neilech. What do we need? Bini ureinu represents the future, bizikneinu represents the past, neilech represents the present. Bini ureinu ubizikneinu Nelech. Right now, we will go with our future and our past. Third, appreciation or evaluation of the present moment. What is the present? And I italicize this for you. The present is one's most precious possession. Unfortunately, we fail to grasp this concept. Unfortunately, we don't live with this idea or ideal or appreciation that the most precious thing in my possession is this moment. That's why we squander. That's why we're enslaved. That's why we waste. Because I don't appreciate what right now is. Time awareness also contains a moral element. What is the moral element in timers? I am in the third paragraph of Rav Soloveitchik. Responsibility. And if there is a message for one who is about to be a ben mitzvah, bar in Aramaic means ben, as well to be a bar mitzvah, a ben mitzvah. If there is a message to any one of us, we are all adults, we have passed the age of bar bas mitzvah, it's that time challenges us with responsibility. We have a responsibility to remember the past, bizikneinu neilech, a responsibility to ensure the transmission of Torah to the future, bineureinu neilech, and a responsibility to maximize the present. There's a responsibility for emerging events. There's a responsibility to intervene in the historical process. What can you contribute to the history of Knesset Yisrael? You who lives right now in the present moment, what can you contribute to Knesset Yisrael, to our destiny? What can you contribute to Avodas Hashem right now? Man, according to Judaism, should try to mold and fashion the future. This is exactly why he has Bechira Chafshis. Why am I a free agent? I'm not a Malach. I don't have a shlichus from Hashem that I can only do one thing. I don't have bechira if I'm a malach. Why do I have bechira chafshis? Because I have responsibility in time. Man is free to reach central and basic decisions that will determine his future and that will determine the world's future. The next words are his writing, is just his language. The whole Lashon is so poetic, it's so impactful, it's so beautiful. To connect retrospection with anticipation, that is past with future, memory with expectation, hindsight with foresight. What do we need in fancy language to connect past with present? One must cherish the present. Cherish the present. Why? Because it is a fleeting moment. But cherish that fleeting moment as if it represents your eternity. Let's read that sentence again. How beautiful. To connect retrospection with anticipation. Memory with expectation, hindsight with foresight, to connect the past to the future, one must cherish the present. Cherish that fleeting moment because it represents eternity. Judaism has a very sensitive approach to the present. Every minute, valuable, every second precious, with a fraction of a second. Hopes may be realized or destroyed. Visions and expectations may be realized or destroyed. The halacha is extremely time conscious. Why? Because the whole foundation of Yahadus is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Rosh Chodashim Rishonu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. That's the first thing you have to know. Lo haya tzarich lahaschil ela min haChodesh HaZeh Lachem Shehi mitzvah Rishonu Shenitzavu B'Yisrael. Is it a Yarok Val Yavar? No. Is it a noche? Hashem lo kachash. Shosisicha meretz utzayim beis avayim. No. Is it Zachar Siyama Shabbos Lekacho? No, but you can't have Shabbos Lekacho if you don't own time. I can only count 7 days if I'm free. The halacha is extremely time conscious. The present moment is so important. For instance, we permitted to do work on Friday afternoon until 1 minute before sunset. But you're enjoined from doing work 1 minute later. Now, we don't keep it to the minute. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who could calculate, says Rashi, the exact moment and second can enter Shabbos in but the blink of an eye. Proverbially, we take some time before. But technically, objectively, you do work 1 minute before Shkia, you're not chayav. You do malacha, you light the fire 1 minute after Shkia, you're in trouble. A person reads Kriya Shema 9:05, he fulfills the mitzvah. 9:06, the performance is worthless. What changed? The words are the same. The tefillin on your arm is the same. What changed? You missed the what? Zman. What did he miss? The same recitation, the same commitment, the same dedication. The guy went to shul. He's there. What did he miss? He chose a minyan. That was too late. What did he miss about Kriya Shema? He didn't say it at home. I know the halachas before you went to shul. He has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Look at this. I should have underlined. Time is of critical importance. Not years, not months, seconds, split seconds. This time, awareness, and appreciation is the singular gift granted to free man. Because time belongs to him. It is his time. He can utilize it to the utmost, or he can waste it. And when we read, or I should say when we learn, Parshas Bo, on this first national mitzvah, and consider that physically we live in a time not like my four grandparents and my husband's grandparents, Aleihem Hasham. We live in a time where we are physically free men. Baruch Hashem. We should never know from the other way. But we have to ask ourselves, are we meshuvad? The elements in society which rob us of our time. What do we focus on? What do we spend time doing? It's a question we all have to ask ourselves. I'm not giving you mussar, I'm giving Micha Aretz mussar. If I want to connect retrospection with anticipation, memory with expectation, hindsight with foresight, I have to recognize that the present moment is the most precious gift entrusted to a human being, and certainly to a Jew. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal did not need or want a break from Limud Torah. The Steinman family took one single, and it's in quotes in the book, vacation in all the years the children were growing up. Rav Aaron Leib took his sons Moshe and Shraga to Meiron one summer as their vacation for Bein Desman, and for 3 days. The boys, he felt, needed a breather. They slept on thin blankets they brought from home on the ground in the Meiron forest. Near the kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rebbetzin Tamar went with their daughters to visit a relative in Yerushalayim. In the hot summer months, after davening with the Neitz Minyan, Rav Steinman went to Panovich Kollel. He spent most of the day and part of his night in the second floor corner learning. His grandson, Rav Gedalia, asked him, Saba, why don't you go away for a few days? You should rest, improve your health. The Gadol smiled and he replied, I feel healthy enough without vacation. Learning Taharus in depth during the yeshiva intercession is far more enjoyable than an out-of-town location. As for resting, I will rest in Shamayim after 120 years, he said. Let's look at the Das Kein Mibalei Tosfos. HaChodesh Hazeh. Kazera avikadesh. Hashem says, why hachodesh is alachem? The pasuk could just say hachodesh. I don't know how it would say it, but okay. I don't know how it would say. Chazal learned out from the word hazeh, this, zeh keili v'anveyu, v'ashivch al hayam, next week, not bo b'shach, v'ashalo ra'al yechasko v'embuzi. Zeh means I see, I am sure. Rabban Shalom pointed to the nolad and he said to Moshe, zeh. Kazer Rav Kadesh, like this, when it's like this, we should sanctify it. V'alkol tali b'kiddush beistin. Everything depends on our sanctification, the declaration of time by beistin. Look at this unbelievable teaching by the Daz Kenim Bali Tosfos. When it comes close to Rosh Hashanah, okay, well, we know Rosh Hashanah is coming. What does God do? We're all busy doing teshuvah. And we're saying slichos, hopefully, and we're getting ready to clap al chayin, and we're asking mechila, trying not to talk lashon hara. Rosh Hashanah is coming. What does God do? Hakadosh Baruch Hu Amar lo malachei yashareis ha'amidu bima v'otziu sefarim. Put up a bima. Take out the sefer zichronos. Ki lemacha ani ba v'dan olami. Tomorrow it is what? Yom Hadin. I'm coming tomorrow. Set up the court. I'm coming to judge. Bein kachu bein kach, between this and between that, nimlachin beistin shalmata is appointed, v'avru v'dachu Rosh Hashanah ad yom shacharav. They don't have Edom who come in the right time. They have Edom who come and they give the testimony so that it falls out that Rosh Hashanah is not the day before, but it actually falls out when? The next day, because who determines time? Hello? We determine time. So Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall out on the anticipated objective day. Rosh Hashanah falls out on the next day because that's when the two kosher Edim came to Beis Din and they both say with their testimony in private rooms, we saw the new moon after checking the testimony based in the terms of it's valid. So it's not the objective day when God anticipated Rosh Hashanah to be. Rather, it is the subjective day. It is determined by who? Knesset Yisrael. L'machar ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu dan es olamo. So what happens the next day? God doesn't judge his world. Why not? Isn't that Rosh Hashanah? No, when is Rosh Hashanah? Does God determine Rosh Hashanah time or do we determine Rosh Hashanah? We. By Malachi Asharis if Ne'akosh Baruch Hu v'armim lefanav. So the Malachi Asharis come before the Ribbono Sha'olam. And they say, Ribbono Olamim, Master of all worlds. Wait a minute. Didn't you tell us to set up the courts and bring out the Sefer Zichronos and set up a bima for the Melech Malchei Amlachim? Didn't you tell us today's going to be Rosh Hashanah and you're not in court? The court's not in session. Lo kach amarta lanu l'machar nidanes olami. V'nim shoradim be'efes. The sentence is dropped. It's a question. What's going on? Amar Lahem. Does everyone understand? I saw some blank faces before and I was asking questions. You with me? This is not a halacha class. I say all the time. All the time. I don't teach halacha, but we have a basic idea and understanding that Rosh Chodesh is determined by who? Come on. Us. How to Edim go up to Basin. We saw the new moon. They interrogate them in separate rooms, and if they determine they saw the new moon, then they light the fires on the mountaintops, and everybody knows that that is Rosh Chodesh. So there is technically an objective time when the moon renews. God, who is past, present, and future, knows the objective time. So he is preparing as if that's Rosh Hashanah, but Edom don't come. It was cloudy. They didn't see the new moon. It's before the calendar was set. So Hashem doesn't come to court. So the Malachi Shor says, what are you doing? You told us to set up for today. Amar Lahem, Harei b'ni dochin esadin ad l'machar. Who determines the day of Din? My sons, i.e., B'nai Yisrael. V'adavar musar b'yadam. The matter of time was given over to Knesset Yisrael. Sha'atem tzrichin leilech achar kviosam. We up here go after time is determined by the Beis Din Shalmata. V'kol ma'asheim osim na'aseimam. Everything that they do, that's what's done with them. We don't determine in Shemayim when we dip the apple in honey, when we put the fish out on the table, when we say Unasana Tokef. You know who determines Aleph Tishrei? Down there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Love, did I give you the footnote on your handle so you can see the full pasuk? Could someone look on the bottom and tell me if I gave you the footnote? Yes? Good. So you can see the pasuk for yourself. Who is their great nation that is a God who is so close to him, like Hashem, our God, when we call out to him? Kiriba kriyasenu elav. Read it when we call out to him. Kwamar kriyas hachadashim v'hamo'adim shalanu. I.e. when we declare, when we call out, they have to call out when the new moon is. They have to call out when the chodesh is. So how should you read that pasuk? Who is such a great nation that God is so close, like Hashem, our God, when we call out, i.e. determined time. Lahavde alf alfei havdalos. I don't know how it works, but I'm sure in the pagan religions, lahavde alf alfei havdalos, the deity lahavde is in charge of everything. But who's in charge of time? Me. And so much of our lives revolves around time. While my boys can make a minion, revolves around one thing, time. When a woman goes to the mikvah, revolves around one thing, time. When Shabbos comes in, revolves around one thing, time. Zman kriya shema zman. You could light Chanukah lich tonight. It's not Chanukah. You could light it. You could eat shmura matzah. Take out your car. Do you have the exact shear? Do I have the exact size of the kos according to the posik that I hold to fulfill our bakosas? You could do it tonight. It's nothing. It's the wrong time, so it's nothing. Okay, Moshe had trouble with, I don't want to go through the second paragraph because we're starting to run out of
time.
Okay. So Chazal say in the Gemara Mesachus Menachos, Moshe had trouble with three things that God had to show him. Does anybody remember any of the others? He was. Oh, that's not what the Gemara says, but I think you're right. Very nice. Very nice. Menorah, very, very nice. Menorah, Shvatzim, the laws of Kashrus, and the Gemara there says Rosh Chodesh, but I believe that Riva is correct. Very nice. So the, okay, so I said I don't want to go through it. I do want to go through it. Vakasha, it's a kasha, it's a difficulty. Sorry, the Gemara says it's Menachos 29a, Chav Tes Amid Aleph. Rosh Chodesh, this week's Pasha, Menorah. Rashi says by the menorah, Hashem showed him the menorah in fire. Moshe couldn't do it. And also Shiratzim, not kosher. By the laws of Kashas. Okay. So what's the problem? V'kasha, what's the kasha? Sharei k'tana haya b'sof ha-chodesh k'mo b'tchilas ha-molad. What's the problem with Rosh Chodesh when you see the moon looks like this? But what could you say? When the moon looks like this, I don't know if it's the end of the month or if it's the beginning of the month. The moon at the end of the month looks a lot like the moon when? At the beginning of the month, isn't it the same crescent moon? So I don't know. Eich yachol lahavchin im hi min hayishana or min hachadasha. So how am I supposed to know if the moon that I'm seeing is really the end of the month or it's the beginning of the month? How do I know? V'yesh lomar demikol makon yachol lahavchin mitoch hapegima. You can say that in any event, you can tell from the diminution of the moon. Because the, again, I am not an astronomer, I am not a scientist, I cannot verify this. If Rav Belsky Zatzal was here, he could help us much more. But the Yeshena, the diminution is in the western side, and the new moon is on the eastern side. Okay? At the end of the month, the moon is in the southeast, and in the new moon is in the Dromis Marvis, southwest. Okay. That was such a powerful piece, because God sits in the Yeshiva Shalmala, when we say, this is Rosh Hashanah, and as the nation is about to be born at the dawn of our national journey, before every other national commandment, we are about to journey, the nation is journeying from childhood to adulthood. That's what the journey is of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And I brought you a pasuk to prove that. Hosea 11.1. Hosea Yud Al Pasuk Alf. Menavi says, what were we in Egypt? Ki na'ar Yisrael v'ohavehu. Omi Mitzrayim karasi livni. Just like my boys, Ba'ezus Hashem, are about to be bar mitzvah, and they're about to journey from childhood to adulthood. It's the same journey that Knesset Yisrael underwent. What were we? Mitzrayim was going to be cost. Ki na'ar Yisrael v'ohaveyu. When Israel was a lad, I loved him. When Mitzrayim crossed, he lived me. He was my son. He was my child. He was my nar. In Egypt, before Yitzias Mitzrayim, we were children. But we journeyed to adulthood. When do we get to adulthood? Va'atem tiyuli, perak yotas, aparshas Yisrael, the prelude to Ma'amad Har Sinai, va'atem tiyuli, mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, el azvar mishar tadabra, el b'nei Yisrael. We went from being a na'ar, just like the child who is about to be bar bas mitzvah, you're a na'ar. You're going to Mamlachas Kohanim v'Goytal Kadosh. You're going to adulthood as a great nation. What marks the transition from Kinar Yisrael v'Ahoveihu, Umi Mitzrayim Karasi Livni, to V'atem to Yuli Mamlachas Kohanim v'Goytal Kadosh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. You cannot enter adulthood. You cannot enter nation status. You cannot be responsible ben or bas Torah without the first mitzvah shenistavu bo Yisrael. How important is that mitzvah? It was worthy, says Rabbi Yitzchak, to start the whole Torah. Just start the Torah there. I don't need the stories before. Start the Torah from time. And I'm a shubar. I have to mark the transition from Na'ar Yisrael v'aveyu to Mamlachas Kohanim v'goy kadosh. And what about the message that I pass on to my children? Sometimes you go to a restaurant, pay attention. You have four people sitting at a table. Every one of them is on their phones. There are emergencies. I am aware. You're waiting for a call from the doctor. The wife is in labor. Not every day, but it happens. You're waiting for a call back from the child's teacher. There's an important business meeting. I understand there are exceptions. I mean, you go to the restaurant, there are four people and they're all on their phones. It took 400 years of the descendants of Avraham Avinu to be ready for Yetzias Mitzrayim. 400 years to grow up. Yeri Azarecha Beretz Lo Lachem Va'avadu Vinu Osam Arba Meos Shana. It takes time for a tiny seed, a sapling, to grow into the tree. It takes years of growth, of Torah planting, of proverbial watering, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, sunlight for a boy to become a man. The painful bitterness of Shiba Mitzrayim, Vayimaru Eschayehem, Vavoda Kasha, Bechomer, Bilavein, Bechol Avoda, Asher Avadu Asem Befarach. It's dark. But there's a seed that's planted. It's not always a walk in the park. It's not always easy. But from that seed, with the passage of time and the proper cultivation, a miracle happens. A nation is born. A tree emerges. A child becomes an adult. In regard to longevity, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal noted, on the one hand, there is value to longevity. You can do more mitzvos. On the other hand, you will need to account in the eternal world of truth for every single second. I always think to myself, said Rav Steinman, which is preferable? A man who lives to an old age and needs to give an accounting for every single second, or a man who does not, but by extension, he has less of an accounting of time to give. Time ebbs and flows, and generations come and go. The present is but a fleeting moment on the one hand, and eternity on the other hand. The paradox of time. The present. What's the present? We started this year. It's already the past. We're about to end this year in 5 minutes. That's the future. What's the present? On the one hand, it is so fleeting. And on the other hand, it is eternity that connects memory with future expectation. Time ebbs and flows and generations come and go, and we live with the understanding that we must mark time. It is such a challenge in our present-day Mitzrayim, Mitzarim, the straits of the culture in which we live. And we have to mark every moment with significance, not only for ourselves, says Rav Salvejik, but time represents responsibility, says the Rav, for the past and for the future, to connect retrospection with anticipation, memory with expectation, hindsight with foresight. We must recognize the fleeting moment represents eternity. Not for myself, for Knesset Yisrael. A Jew lives for the entirety of this people. And therefore, a bar mitzvah should be taught to understand. And every adult in this room, I need to understand. I don't only live for my own needs, my own desires, my own wants and strivings. I am obligated to every Jew who came before me and every Jew who will come after me. Avos 1:14. Mishnah Avos, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Yudalid. Hillel used to say, Im eina nili mili. If I do not live for myself in the present, then who will live for me? Nobody. Nobody will live for me in this exact moment. But if I only live for myself without my eye on the past and my eye on the future, then what am I as a Jew? If I don't understand the eternity in the here and now, then when? And so we live for the past, we live in the present, and we live for the future. And I believe the last source on your handle is a repetition of the pasuk of Achodesh Azalachem. Am I correct? And you'll see that three words are bolded. And I found this very interesting. In combination, in conclusion to our shia, I found this very, very interesting. By the way, Chodesh and Chadash are the same word. Chodesh is month and Chadash is renewal. And so if last month wasn't great and I wasted my time and I didn't maximize and I didn't capitalize and I felt that I had a lot of more bittles month than I wanted, you have a new opportunity. Chodesh is Chadash. It's a new month. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Lachem L'Chodshei Hashanah. Three times the word Chodesh or its variation appears in this pasuk. I found that extremely compelling. The Chadash of Chodesh, the renewal that occurs each and every month, is our obligation for the Chodesh to those who came before us. One Chodesh in this pasuk is the past. Our obligation to embrace the life we have been given in the present, in the here and now, imlo achshav emasai, one Chodesh in the pasuk for the present. And finally, our obligation to ensure the Mesorah of Torah, of mitzvos, of kedushas and taharas Yisrael, of our great national destiny and our great heritage, will continue as it is transmitted to the future. Three times, Chodesh or its variation occurs in this pasuk. For the past, for the present, and for the future. And so, as are so many children today, going to conclude, my boys' great-grandparents, Tehei Zichron Baruch, were Holocaust survivors. And I feel it's an appropriate time to mention that three of them had children who were not zolcha to come to the age of Torah mitzvot, who were not zolcha to grab the moment and the preciousness and the zchusim in every second of time, because their life was snatched from them, al kiddush Hashem. Golda, Leah, and Ita were my paternal grandfather's daughters. Rivka Bracha was my maternal grandmother's daughter. And Devorah was my maternal grandfather's daughter, Hashem Yinkom Damo. And so my children live, learn, continue, enter bar or bas mitzvah for all of you, the generations after us, the Talmidim or the Talmidos that we influence after us, the people we make an impression on after us. We must connect retrospection with anticipation. B'ne'ureinu u'bizikneinu neilech ki chag l'Hashem machar. There is only a chag when the whole community, when every individual understands our great tafkid here. For every mitzvah, these girls, God, Aleiah, Eter, Rivka, Bracha, and Devar Hashem, Yinkom, Damam, they were not zocha to complete. For every second of life, they did not merit to live. For every bas mitzvah, they did not reach. For every Rosh Chodesh that my grandparents' daughters were not worthy to commemorate. For the five graves they were not even zocha to have. For every joyful anticipation and sad expectation, we live for them. Our children of today live for the past. They must embrace the present and know the tafkir of the future. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, thou art in Be'eretz Mitzrayim, even when you're in Mitzrayim, even when you're in the Straits, even in Candy Crush beckons and the Shtus on Facebook, and I don't know what else we waste our time with. HaChodesh, the past has Elohim. Rosh Chodashim, it's the beginning of new opportunities in the present. Rishon Hulachem L'Chodshei Hashanah, it's the beginning of the future of Knesset Yisrael. Thank you, everybody. We should be zochet to share b'suras tovos for all.